You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Mental health and Christianity. Somehow, in some people's minds, that seems like an oxymoron. They just don't exist together. They don't coexist. It's like oil and water. Christians should not struggle with mental health. And if they do struggle with mental health, it's a demon. Is that it? Is that the reality? Dr. Grant Mullen joins us in the studio today. Medical doctor, seminar leader, author. Dr. Grant Mullen specializes in treating depression, manic depression, anxiety disorders, and other emotional and mental disorders. The word disorder is thrown around a lot. We'll talk about that. He believes that spiritual and emotional issues are major factors in causing illnesses, and that doctors, MDs, must look beyond just the medical and physical aspects and possibly consider the spiritual element in their treatment as well. DrGrantMullen.com is the place to go, folks. But he's in the studio today on The Drew Marshall Show for the second time. Second time. Welcome back. You were a fun guest last time. I specifically remember you being here and going, wow, I don't need any notes with this guy. Seriously. Some guests you have to carry a little bit. I could just, you know what, I'm just going to turn my mic off and you just go for an hour. How's that sound?
It's funny what you said about the oxymoron. Just yesterday I got an email from an old high school buddy who, when he found out I was doing Christian mental health, he said, isn't that an oxymoron?
Yeah.
Just
really?
Yesterday that
he said
happened.
That, huh?
Just yesterday that happened.
Is it still, like, are you still bashing your head against the wall in this issue?
Much less. When I first started doing mental health in the 80s, it was a huge problem. The Christian community just could not accept that there was a medical, spiritual, and emotional aspect to mental health. So, yes, I was accused of witchcraft and selling out to the secular model. I did endure a lot of judgments for treating Christians with medications and combining treatment, but that's improved now because Oprah has made it respectable.
Oprah?
Yes.
Of
Oprah
all
has,
the people.
She has made it respectable to have a medication or have a medical mental health disorder that's treatable with medications.
Okay, speaking of Oprah, how do you feel about Dr. Phil?
I don't actually watch him, but I don't think he's harmful.
Right, yeah. I read a little bit of his one of his books. Well, my wife made me read it, to be quite honest. And, boy, he was very upfront about his relationship with Jesus. Very upfront.
Yeah, I just don't know anything about him other than he's very direct.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that. And you are, too. You are. You really are. And I think people appreciate that. I mean, that's, like, it's not Don Cherry's outfits that make him popular. It's the fact that he's direct. You know, say it like it is. Say it like it is. Okay, right off the top, I think people resonate with story. And without using any names, I'd love for you to be able to relate to us a story of someone who was struggling with such and such, tried other things, the Christian scene was involved, and then finally came to you and things were able to work out. Can you lay one on us?
Oh, well, easily. I mean, I've got thousands of them. But let me give you from two different directions.
Please.
The average person who comes to see me, let's say who's a Christian, but I see obviously Christians and non-Christian, but let's take the average Christian, I'm their first stop. So in other words, they realize they have a problem, mm-hmm. and someone says, gee, you got to check yourself out for depression, and they come to see me, do I need medication? So I'm usually their first stop. So then I point out at their first visit is, sure, there's a depression problem, I'll help you with the medicines, but your problems don't stop there. You have spiritual issues, you have emotional issues, and you have to deal with all three parts if you want to be free. If you take just one of those three methods, you can be improved, but not free.
Okay.
So I encourage them, sure, I'll help you with the medicines, but you need to see a counselor to deal with the other issues. But then the opposite direction is I'll see some people, it's a much smaller group, and they will have already done the spiritual and the emotional. So they've seen a counselor, they've seen pastors, they've done prayer ministry, they've really done everything you can do from the spiritual and emotional, but they're still not right. They know there's still something wrong. And if they're seeing a really insightful counselor, of which there are many now, they'll say, I think you need medications. That's the last piece of the puzzle. So then they come to me, and I'm their last stop. And if I get their medicines right, then they really are free, and it's just a dramatic turnaround because they've already done all the forgiveness stuff and all the prayer ministry. All I do is give them the right medicine, their mind clears, their concentration restored, and they are free, and they just go on.
Beautiful. Give me an example. Story. John, Ralph, Ted, use a fake name, whatever the deal is.
Yeah, I can just think of one gal, and she's about 25, serious, delightful Christian, knew she had personal issues, relationship issues, went to see a counselor actually here in town in Oakville, mm-hmm. who understands the balance of medical, emotional, and spiritual, and so he worked her through all of the healing issues, the forgiveness issues, the deliverance issues, and she made enormous progress, but she was still struggling because she couldn't shut her mind off. She she just couldn't shut her mind off, which is the sign of chemical imbalance. Mm-hmm. The counselor spotted it right away. He says, well, you need to, we've come as far as we can on the spiritual, emotional. Now you need medications to get your mind clear. So she came to see me, took her pills, and then she was fantastic. So
What do you mean couldn't shut your mind? Just the typical thing when you lay your head in the pillow at night and your mind reels and eventually you fall asleep kind of thing?
I mean, there's a wide spectrum. Because the problem is we can't measure moods or thinking.
Seriously, you have the goofiest job in the world.
Well, that's why no doctors want to do it.
No, because there's so little of it that can be measured.
That's right. And doctors like things that are measurable and that don't take a lot of chatting.
Yes.
And
yes.
That can be done fast.
Yeah.
And so, of course, mental health is not like that. So hardly any doctors want to do this. But I've just come up with a system. I had to invent my own system or else we'd spend hours and hours not resolving anything. So I've just come up with a system that the surest way to tell if someone likely has a chemical imbalance is if they can't shut their mind off. Now, what that means is that in the back of their mind, there's an audio tape playing all the time that they can't stop or direct or steer it. So in depression, for example, it's a negative tape. It's a continuous negative, sad, worried, down, pessimistic, hopeless thinking that just you can't shut off. And in a person who's manic, obviously it's a pump-driven, energized, go, 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 that they can't shut off.
Right.
And in anxiety, it's just afraid, 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 afraid. So it's the feeling of I have a tape playing, I can't shut off. Now, obviously, everyone thinks all the time, so that's normal. But it's a matter of can you shut it off? Can you steer your own thoughts? Like take them from one direction and change direction. Mm-hmm. Like, can you stop worrying? Can you stop feeling down?
Sure.
So if a person can't do that, I'm highly suspicious that they have a chemical imbalance.
If people wanted to maybe do a little test, a little self-test.
Yes.
A little self-diagnosis, you know, somebody can answer these questions and it will give you a bit better of an idea of where you need to go with this. They can go to your website.
Yep, drgrantmullen.com. We have a button that says, am I normal?
I love that.
And you just go in there, and those are most of the questions we ask during our interviews.
Am I normal?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. So they can go to your website. They click on Am I Normal? People aren't doing it right now. They might do it eventually, but I want to give them an expectation of what happens when they click on Am I Normal?
Well,
what happens?
There'll be a whole series of disorders, depression, anxiety, mood swings, all that kind of stuff. And you just pick each one and you go through it. Do I have this? It lists about 14 common symptoms of each one. And they just say, do I have that? And if they have a lot of them, they should print that off, take it to their doctor and say, this is what I'm experiencing. Do you think you could help me with it? It's also in my book, Emotionally Free.
Okay. Whenever I've done that, as a matter of fact, when I did that on your website, you could almost answer. Now, maybe I'm just a wacky person, but you could almost answer yes to a lot of them.
And be normal.
And be normal. Oh,
absolutely.
Is that right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Many people come in on this.
Because I came away from that test going, holy crap, I need to sign up here. You know, I got to get some drugs into me.
It's that you have to have that every day for months on end. See, that's the criteria.
Okay.
So in other words, everyone has down times. Everyone has manic-ish times. Everyone has fearful times. The thing is, does it stop? So in other words, a normal down is you feel upset about something and it may preoccupy you for a time and then it lifts.
Okay.
But in depression and anxiety, in these disorders, it's every day for months or years on end. It's continuous.
Is my faith pathetic if I take mental health medication?
Well, that has been a huge stigma in the church for a long time, which is now subsiding. Though there are still places that are very against medicines. And I still have patients coming in who say, every Sunday my pastor says, are you off those pills yet?
Are you kidding?
That is still happening. I had someone say that to me in the last 4 weeks. But
okay,
that's
no,
rare.
Hold on.
It is uncommon.
But let's just think that through for a minute. If the person has been on the pills for a long, 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 long time, years and years and years and years, a caring person, a caring pastor would say, you know, isn't that the idea that eventually you come off the medication? Or is this lifer material?
No, you're talking about a second category of pastor. I'm talking about the pastor who says this is an entirely a faith issue.
Okay.
Medicines are never involved.
All right.
You never take medicines for a faith issue.
Right.
Okay, so they're a very small group. They just don't understand that there are physical conditions.
Right.
Okay, but that you're talking about another group that says, are the medicines for life? Okay. Well, the answer actually is depending how long your mood disorder has lasted for. So most of the people come to see me, the vast majority have had it for 20 years by the time they come to see me.
Really?
Yeah. Most of them can trace it back to their early teens. Puberty triggers it.
Wow.
Yeah. So now they may have only been aware of it in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But really, if you trace back the symptoms, they'll say, yeah, it was that in my teens, I started to lose control of my thoughts. So for those people, if you've had it for 20 years, if you come off your medicine, you just go back to the way you were. It's like stopping wearing glasses. You just go back to being short-sighted.
Okay, but is there anything wrong with the thinking of, hey, I'm just going to take it for a bit for some respite and then wean off it, wean down, go down, a little smaller doses, do whatever, and see how I respond. And yeah, my ultimate goal is to not be on medication for the rest of my life. But right now, I got to get through this funk I'm in. Otherwise, I'm going to put a bullet in myself.
Yeah, I have a lot of people who take that approach. Many, but it just doesn't work.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't work. But most of the people who come to see me disappear within 6 months.
How easy is it to tell whether it's situational? There was a situation in your life, things are going squirrely right now. You got a lot of stressors going on, and that's why you're depressed, or biochemical.
Yeah, well, that in fact is the issue I have to deal with what every 20 minutes. So that's why I exist. It's to separate who's having a bad hair day and who has a chemical imbalance.
Bad hair day, yeah.
And so, because you can't go giving.
I have a lot of those.
Yes, the picture's a bit blurry right now on my radio. We can't go giving pills to everyone who's having a down day.
Right.
So the way you separate it is this. Normal human downness, I call discouragement, comes and goes. Depression is an illness that needs medications.
But wouldn't you discourage the person who's in discouragement because they came in and said, I want some pills for my depression? You go, you're not depressed. You're just discouraged. Go away. You know what I mean? Afraid of sending them over the edge a little
bit?
Well,
that doesn't happen in my office because it takes 6 to 9 months to come in. And so if they've been feeling depressed for 6 to 9 months, I know it's not discouragement.
All right. Yeah.
And they usually say, I've been like this for 20 years.
So there's a method to your madness with the waiting list scenario, right?
Yeah, it's a way of sorting out who's serious.
That's right.
But what happens in discouragement, it usually has a well-defined cause, mm-hmm. like there's an event in your life or an area in your life that you're unhappy with, but the rest of your life, you're okay. So you may be upset at work, but you're okay at home, or vice versa. Whereas depression affects every part of your life. Like, you can't escape from it. It messes up home, work, everything. Mm. In discouragement, it usually comes and goes. Like, time not really heals, but it lifts with time. In discouragement, you can still concentrate, you can still control your thoughts, your relationship with God is still stable. You're just down about a certain part of your life, which is temporary. But the key in my office, what I do, if someone comes in and I want to know, are they discouraged or depressed? One is, how long has it been a problem? Two is, can you shut your mind off? The key is concentration, thought control. If they can't shut their mind off, if they can't concentrate, medicines will help.
Okay, we are in the studio with Dr. Grant Mullen. Of course, the website is drgrantmullen.com, a brilliant, brilliant website to go to. Very, very well done. And Dr. Mullen has been our guest previously on the Drew Marshall Show. We're going to open up the phone lines around 3 o'clock for you to call in and ask Dr. Mullen any question you want about mental and emotional health. The number is 905-338-1250. You want to write that down. Do not phone now because we'll just ignore you. 905-338-1250. That's the phone number to phone in about 10 or 15 minutes. We'll open up the phone lines for you to see someone's phoning, and we're ignoring you. One thing I've always – I don't even know whether I should ask you this because this – I'll ask it anyway, Gal, because that's how I'm wired. Have you ever lost a patient you've been treating? You know, they've taken their own life.
Yes. It's very uncommon. Like, I you see, what happens is – when people stop coming back, I have no idea what becomes of them.
Right.
Like, people usually only come for about 6 visits and then give up. They just don't stay with the treatment. So, but I can think of, and I've been doing this for 20 years, and I don't think we've had 5 in 20 years that I was aware of who killed themselves.
Can you take us back to the first time you got that call, the first time you found out, the first patient you lost, mm-hmm. the first patient that took their own life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did that affect you, man?
Well, every doctor who loses anyone, you always think, what else could I have done?
Sure.
And then, of course, all the family members, what else could I have done? So, but there's not always something you could have done differently.
Yeah. What advice would you give to family members of those who have taken their own lives? We heard from a couple this morning during our Father's Day segment.
It's probably one of the most painful, grieving experiences that you will ever go through when someone very close to you commits suicide. Mm. And many people have said you never recover from it because it's different from a normal grief, from someone who's in an accident or an illness. The fact they did it by their own hand. Many people say you never really recover from that. The only way that you can resolve it, and I mean, I'm speaking, you know, I'm not sure you ever really resolve it.
No.
But the best you can do is to say that there was probably nothing you could have done about it. This was their choice. They were going to do it regardless of anything you were going to do. They had predetermined that this was going to be their fate. And in fact, many people conceal it. Like, many people who commit suicide, in fact, have concealed it. There's absolutely no way that someone could have anticipated it.
Right.
Many of them are so well concealed and deliberate and well planned, there is nothing a family member could have done, even if they, like in the week prior.
Yeah.
So I just tell people that there are some things that you just cannot prevent. Yeah. It was their decision, and you aren't responsible for their decision.
Dr. Grant Mullen, what about teenage suicide? What about the teenage mentality? I mean, we just heard a piece earlier in the show from Bill Cosby, and he uses the phrase brain damage. You know, they are brain damaged, these children. There's something not working in their heads. And I remember myself going through some tough, tough times as a teenager, and I attempted suicide, excuse me, at, I think I was around 15. So I want to touch on this. The teenage suicide, the attention needing that comes with that. I didn't really want to kill myself, but this is a cry for help. The reaction of the parents, I remember my parents wrestling with, look, you're not going to blackmail us with, I'm going to kill myself again. And they had to do a tough love thing and kick me out. Can you imagine kicking out a child, a teenager, out of your house after they've already tried to kill themselves? Incredibly tough decision.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
I put my parents through hell.
And then I know people, after they've kicked the kid out, then he really does commit suicide.
Yeah, and then what do you do with
that?
It's
so tormenting, I know. It's very important to discuss adolescence, because adolescence is a time of tremendous emotional turmoil on many fronts.
Sure.
So first you've got just the hormonal change of adolescence.
Yeah.
So that's like a bomb going off inside you. But in adolescence, there's all kinds of developmental things, emotional developmental stages you have to rush through before you become an adult.
Right.
So it's this self-acceptance thing, identity thing, who am I, where am I going, why do I exist? So it's a spiritual crisis, it's an emotional crisis, it's a social crisis. So there's all kinds of things taking place in adolescence, which are very important. I mean, it'll change the course of your life, how you resolve those issues. And there's a timeline, there's a pressure to get it done. So those are legitimate pressures. Plus, they're in school, they have to perform if they want any kind of future. So there's a whole lot of legitimate pressures on adolescents. But here's the real hook that makes it so much more difficult. Mood disorders are triggered by puberty.
Really?
So then you add mood disorders on top of all of these legitimate physical, emotional,
that come along with puberty
anyway. That's right. They're already going on.
Give me a break.
And mood disorders are triggered by puberty. So the overwhelming majority of people I see, their mood disorders began in early teens. So then you add that to this, you know, emotional chaos. Mm. And so then you have normal adolescent instability plus all these undiagnosed, undetected mood disorders, which are just starting up. And so it's a real, what we call the adolescent storm. That's what we call it.
Okay. Yeah.
But what's really important is that people are missing the diagnosis and treatment of adolescents of mood disorders because they just chalk it all up to adolescence. So it's just thought, well, it's normal for the adolescent to be so volatile and suicidal. But you see, it isn't, because the adolescent suicide rate is astronomical.
Yeah.
Like, suicide is second only to accidents as a cause of death in adolescence. So it's epidemic, adolescent suicide. So we know that that's not a normal developmental phase.
Okay. All right. Again, in the studio with Dr. Grant Mullen, opening the phone lines up for you folks very, very soon. 905-338-1250. Your opportunity to call in and ask questions of Dr. Grant Mullen, questions surrounding emotional health issues, mental health issues, depression, anxiety, mood disorders, etc. 905-338-1250. In just a few minutes, we'll open up the phone lines for you to phone in and actually speak with the man who has a 6 to 9 month waiting list or something like that. So that's a good thing. Signs. I love my husband, I love my wife, I love my children, and there's something going on in their life, but I don't know what it is. And then months go by, and then they take their own life, or we're divorced, or he's abusing the children, or he's been fired 3 times, or whatever, he's disappeared. I mean, I give you a little example here. A gentleman, do you remember Butterfly Kisses? That song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the gentleman that wrote that song, his name's Bob Bennett, I think, struggles with these sorts of things and disappears for weeks. Just disappears. What are we to look for the people we love and care about? What signs? How do you know? What are we supposed to be looking for?
Well, we're looking for a change in personality that lasts more than a day.
Okay, but that's every day of a teenager.
Well, that's true. In adolescence, they're volatile to begin with.
Right.
So if we're talking adolescence, and we're pleading with people to treat adolescence, like, please don't ignore it, get them into treatment.
Oh, they're just seeking attention.
And sometimes that's true. But also, and even if you try to get them treated, many adolescents just refuse because they say, it's not my problem, it's the people around me.
Yeah, my parents are losers,
yeah,
man.
I hear that every couple of hours. So it's very...
From your own children?
No, they think I'm an idiot, not a loser.
That's right.
So it's very hard to get adolescents to accept treatment. But what I look for is, in adolescents, is loss of concentration. They can't control their thoughts, and they get stuck in like mental themes. So like they could get very down, very sad, very worried, or actually what they get is irritable. It's a new irritability that's unending, just continuous irritability, and they lose concentration. Those are some of the things I look for, particularly in adolescents. And mood swings, they get really pumped and driven and really crashed, really pumped and driven, really crashed, and they lose interest in things.
Grant, my 13-year-old daughter is up and down like a yo-yo, but you keep putting this little thing on the end of it, I think, where you're going
to
say, longer term,
yeah,
over a few months, you know, they're dealing with this.
And I look for concentration, school performance, and interest levels. So many depressed adolescents sort of lose interest in things,
okay,
but they get really angry.
Right.
But like, I don't want to go to school, I don't want to go to work, I don't want to do anything. Okay, mm-hmm. You watch for that. They just stay in the room all the time.
Okay.
So social isolation. These are signs of it's a change in personality that lingers and is persistent and prolonged, and nothing makes them happy.
Okay. Adults. My husband, you know, the adults. It's a different scenario. You're looking for slightly different things. Similar,
yeah,
but slightly different.
Yeah, they're not as irritable. Adolescents are more irritable and blaming. And adults, you look for loss of concentration and a persisting, low, negative, pessimistic, worried mood that they may not have had before or that's getting gradually worse.
Right. Okay. Speaking of loss of concentration, you and I were chatting before we went to air about the ADD scenario and the ADHD. Do you deal much with that side of things, or mostly depression that you deal with?
Mostly depression. I did for many years treat ADHD and ADD in all age groups, but just where I am now, there's other people who do that, so my focus is on mood disorders.
Right.
But mood disorders and attention deficit disorders are actually inseparable.
Okay. All right.
There's such a big overlap.
What do you think about the prayer healing deliverance ministries that are out there? We've got LL. We got Elijah House. We got Living Waters, Singing Waters, Neil Anderson, Freedom in Christ Ministry. The list is endless.
Yes, and I'm familiar with most of them. In fact, Neil Anderson wrote the foreword to my book, Emotionally
Nice.
Free.
Nice.
And I have John.
Did you hear Neil on our show? He's been on a couple times.
No, I haven't actually.
He's an intense guy, man. One of the fastest talkers I've ever heard. Sorry.
Well, he was a tremendous influence on me in the early 80s to help me understand that there was more to life than pills. You see, I learned pills first because I was a physician. And then when I read The Bondage Breaker, suddenly it was like popcorn going off in my head saying, oh, I've seen this in my office. All the things he was describing, I've seen this. That explains it. So then an enormous light went on in my head, was that spiritual warfare issues are affecting people's moods. And then through Elijah House, which is John and Paula Sanford, Singing Waters, all these other ministries you just mentioned, I'm familiar with most, not every single one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that they had a valuable contribution that as we heal the hurts of our past, get rid of emotional baggage, get rid of evil spirits that may be harassing us, and correcting the mood disorder, people could be better. And so what I did was, when I wrote the book Emotionally Free, all I did was combine all those three types of ministries. So the first third of the book is how to tell if you need medicines. So that's the medication, physician part. So that's sort of my own story of medications. But the second part of the book is how to tell if you need deliverance ministries. How do you tell if you're under spiritual attack, which is the Neil Anderson side of it. Then the third part of the book is how to do an inventory of your past to see if you have unresolved emotional issues and emotional baggage, which is more the Elijah House, Singing Waters, prayer ministry side of it. So all God showed me was that all three ministries are very valuable, they really help people, and you should use them on everybody. So I'm just saying, do everything.
Very holistic, isn't it?
Yeah, do everything.
Yeah.
So some people need pills. About 20% of the population needs medicines. I think everybody needs
20%
counseling.
20% of the population?
Well, 10 to 20% of the population has a mood disorder. We're not exactly sure the number because we have no test.
Yeah.
But at least 10, I think probably 20% of the population has a treatable mood disorder.
Okay. I just want to let our listeners know in just a couple of minutes. I know we've been putting this off, but again, I got a million questions, and it is about me. The show is called Drew Marshall Show. Let's just keep that in mind. We're going to open up the phone lines. 905-338-1250. 905-338-1250. 905-338-1250. You have to say it three times because you're either a Baptist or a radio guy. They have three parts to everything. We're talking about mood disorders, we're talking about mental illness, mental health, medications, depression, the whole deal. Dr. Grant Mullen here in the studio with us, www.drgrantmullen.com is the website, and this gentleman has a waiting list a mile long, so this is the perfect opportunity to call in. You know what? People are phoning now. You know what? Let's just go to the phones. I keep putting people off, and I get hate mail now because I don't take enough callers. The phone lines are open right now, 905-338-1250, 905-338-1250. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, your opportunity to phone in right now to speak with Dr. Grant Mullen.